The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and it is very long, so I'm going to just give you the highlights, but they're very encouraging. This is Michelle Yao has long said, enough is never enough. I want more. Now the boundlessly energetic movie star is hinting she may try to slow down. But can she? Will she? A quote, the truth is, I love what I do. I thrive on working. I love being with creative people. I thrive on being challenged because then I'm learning and I am evolving. And there's a sidebar here with the five faces of Michelle Yao, a sampling of the roles and movies that led inevitably to her Oscar moment. As Wei Lin in Tomorrow Never Dies, 1997. As Yu Shu Lian, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, 2000. As Mamiya, Memories of a Geisha, 2005. As Eleanor Young, Crazy Rich Asians, 2018. And as Evelyn Wang, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, 2020. Now, there's another sidebar article here that I want to share with you, How I Stay Fit. Your body is like your mind. It needs to be worked. Once it's dormant, it will take a while to get it cranked up again. So I stay active. And that's all about practice. It's learning to use your time and space, incorporating exercise into your lifestyle. The reason I'm still flexible is because I stretch every day. If I'm on the plane, I'm doing leg lifts. Sometimes stretch on a bed where my body is supported. I shadow box. I stretch in the bathroom when I brush my teeth. I stretch when I'm on the phone. When I'm not on a video call, I'll do my squats and lifts. Because of the work I've done, I've had some injuries, so I'm more mindful. Also, with age, you have to work on your muscles and bone density and the need to eat well, get the proper rest and the right forms of exercise. Filming Blade Runner Blade Runner 2099, Prime Video tentatively set for a 2025 release, has been so much fun. Just 2 days ago, we were doing an action sequence. Sometimes there's no time for rehearsals. Fortunately, the way I was trained in Hong Kong was without rehearsals anyway. We would get on the set, we're told what we were doing, and then we would do it. A stunt person I was doing a scene with hadn't fought with me before and wanted to be careful because, God forbid, you hurt the actor. He said, I'm going to reach for you to see how fast you react. The stunt coordinator was someone I had worked with before, and he said to him, try her. He came at me, and my reaction was very fast. That comes with constant practice. Once you know the basics, you can string the moves together. And I'm also going to read the last section of the article about her. The Oscar win has ensured that Yao is busier than ever with film and TV projects, her brand commitments, her advocacy work. I have all my scripts around me, stacks of them, and I'm trying to memorize the lines. When I was a kid in school, I would say, one day I won't have to study anymore. Guess what I'm doing at 62, she laughs, studying. She concedes she is working too much, even by her manic standards. I need to stop and enjoy the people around me, she said, of her found and chosen family, which includes 6 godchildren as well as a new grandchild born to Todd's son and his partner. I have to at some point make a conscious decision to take at least a month off to spend time with my family back in Malaysia. Hopefully visit family in Hong Kong, she hazards, somewhat unconventionally. The truth is, I love what I do. She continues with a sigh. Even though I say I work too much, I thrive on working. I love being with creative people. I thrive on being challenged because then I'm learning, I'm evolving. Jamie Lee Curtis, who at age 64 won her first Oscar, also for Everything Everywhere, understands. The older we get, the more sedentary and isolated we get, because often we are no longer allowed to do the work that brought us into contact with others, Curtis explains. But people like Michelle and I, who are artists, must take advantage of this moment and sacrifice a quieter time. She is taking full advantage of it in every aspect of her work, humanitarian, philanthropic, advertising, creative. It's fitting that Everything Everywhere All at Once, the movie that changed Yao's life in a lifetime full of inflection points, is one that contemplates the paths not taken. What would Yao's younger selves, the aspiring ballerina, the anticipatory stay-at-home mom, think of the journey she ultimately embarked on? That's a good question. When you're younger, you're too busy living it up to think about that. I went to England in my teens and then graduated and moved to Hong Kong. I was climbing and moving forward and falling down and getting up, getting new opportunities, suddenly doing action movies, she reflects. I'm not the kind of person who thinks, oh, I should have done that. I wouldn't be where I am today. My dad always said to me, I wish you enough, she continues. When I was young, I would say, no, I don't want to have enough. I want more. Now I understand. It's learning to be content. Live with an open hand, not a tight fist. And this article was by Los Angeles-based writer Rebecca Sun, a former senior editor at The Hollywood Reporter, who was in 2023 the inaugural recipient of the Coalition of Asian Pacifics and Entertainers Trailblazer Award. Now moving over to AARP The Bulletin, this is under the heading of Your Life, Ask for Help. Artificial intelligence tools can answer your important caregiving questions as long as you know what information to enter. This is by Michael R. Miller. Artificial intelligence can help caregivers with common tasks. If you're a caregiver and not sure what to do in a situation, an all-purpose AI tool such as ChatGPT, that's chatgpt.com, or Google Gemini, gemini.google.com, or Microsoft Copilot, copilot.microsoft.com, can help. These AI tools generate text responses to user prompts, similar to an online chatbot. You can use them to answer questions, provide information, and write material for you. All you have to do is go to the website, write a prompt, that is a question or a suggestion, and hit enter. After the AI responds, you can continue the conversation by entering additional prompts. It's all displayed like a conversation. It's really as simple as that. Remember, AI cannot substitute for professional medical, legal, or financial advice. Asking AI for help is a good first step, but always consult a professional for all important matters. Remember, AI does make mistakes. So, what should a caregiver ask AI? Here are some sample prompts to help you get started. Getting smarter about medical information. Please explain the doctor's instructions in language a middle school child would understand. Then list the instructions you got from your doctor. The person in my care has fallen and bruised their hip. What should I do? Working with doctors. The person in my care has been experiencing episodes of dizziness. What questions should we ask the doctor during an upcoming visit? Providing care plans. Please create a personalized care plan for a person for whom I'm caring. They are 5'4", 130 pounds, and have been experiencing dizzy spells. They are in generally good health and require intermittent care. include information about daily schedules, medications, maintenance, diet, and exercise. Improving nutrition. Please provide a 7-day meal plan for an 85-year-old woman, 140 pounds, with a heart condition. This person needs to restrict carb consumption and is allergic to soy. They would like to maintain or increase their weight by a few pounds over the next month. Navigating financial waters. Create a budget for managing caregiving expenses for an 80-year-old woman living on her own with minimal care. What are strategies to manage my father's medical expenses? What is the best type of long-term care insurance for my 85-year-old father? Next category, understanding legal issues. What do I need to know about estate planning for my 80 and 75-year-old parents? My mother has approximately $500,000 in savings. How can I best manage her finances on a weekly basis? Next, receiving personalized advice. My father is 90 and living by himself in an apartment. He has trouble walking and is no longer capable of driving. His mind is still sharp, but his memory is starting to fade. He doesn't like people looking after him, but needs assistance with many things. Can you give me some advice on caring for him? Or, my mother is no longer capable of maintaining her house and yard by herself. We're afraid she would react adversely to moving to an assisted care facility. What options do we have in this situation? And finally, discovering other resources. Are there any local support groups for children caring for parents with Alzheimer's? Or, my 85-year-old mother is having foot problems. Can you recommend a specialist in our area? Can you recommend someone who can help me understand Medicare options for my 85-year-old aunt? And this is adapted from Using Artificial Intelligence, Absolute Beginner's Guide by Michael R. Miller, published by Q Publishing and AARP Books. It's to be released on November 27th. They don't say what year, though. Pre-order at aarp.org/techbooks or wherever you buy books. Now, in this bulletin, they have a center page under the heading of Your Life, an AARP Need to Know Guide, a smart home guide, how technology can make daily life easier for older people or caregivers. Getting older doesn't have to mean leaving your home. New technology promises to make aging in place easier, safer, and more satisfying. In some cases, it can even lend a hand to caregivers. Smart technology that is connected to the internet can often be controlled from anywhere inside or outside the home. Some of the most useful devices learn your preferences and routines and adjust to you, or they provide insight to a loved one who helps out. What becomes even more valuable with smart devices is when data reveals behavioral patterns that could alert a caregiver when something seems to be off, says Andy Miller, Senior Vice President of AARP Innovation Labs. Here's a look at products that can help you around the house. And there's a picture of a house here with references to each room. One, smart lights. Can be turned on and off through an app. Can be programmed to turn on when detecting movement for security outside your home, or safety inside it, such as when a person gets up at night. Two, smart TVs. Sure, you spend countless hours streaming movies, shows, live news, and sports with an internet-connected TV. But smart TVs can also use a webcam for video chats, telehealth calls with your doctor, or virtual exercise sessions. Three, smart thermostats. Typically can learn your indoor climate preferences over time. When the thermostat detects the house is empty, it can reduce the amount of heating or cooling. Shaving a few bucks off your energy bill includes remote control through an app for the resident or a caregiver. Smart speakers. With voice commands, you can play music, get the weather forecast, get questions answered, and more. This can become the command center for your home, providing voice control for other products. Smart speakers are also popular in the kitchen for setting timers. Smart beds and mattresses can determine comfortable temperatures for whoever's sleeping in the bed, can adjust mattress firmness, and report on the quality of sleep come morning, perhaps sharing data with a health care provider or a caregiver. Activity sensors. Caregivers can monitor an older adult's daily activities, such as getting out of bed, entering or exiting a room, or leaving an exterior door open. They can track daily activities to send alerts to family or a caregiver if, for example, a chair is occupied for too many hours. Fall detectors. Many of these products work with a combination of wall-mounted sensors and wearable devices, such as a wristband or a pendant. They can determine if a resident has taken a fall and can call for help. A caregiver can also receive an alert. Security systems. If an alarm is triggered, not only are the resident and authorities alerted, but the system can send a notification to a caregiver's smartphone. Video doorbells. These include a small camera, plus a microphone and speaker, which lets you see and converse with someone at your door through an app on your phone. That person doesn't see you and won't know if you're home. Some models can regularly record video for review. Smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors. Smart alarms can not only alert people in the home about smoke, but also push notifications to an app for a caregiver. Apps can receive notifications if carbon monoxide or other indoor air quality issues are detected. Robot mowers. These follow an area that you define and quietly do the mowing for you. Cleaning robots. These started as automated sweepers that learned the layout of your rooms and did the dirty work. Now, some can even mop hard floors. Smart appliances. A smart refrigerator allows contents to be seen in an app if you can't remember what you have or need while shopping. In some cases, it can suggest recipes based on the ingredients on hand. A smart stove will let you or a caregiver shut off an oven remotely. A smart microwave can be turned on or off remotely via an app. Medication dispensers can be programmed to give out the right amount of medicine and audibly or visually alert a person when it's time to take a dose. Many can be managed through phone apps, so a caregiver can check to see when medication has been dispensed. Smart locks. Lock and unlock doors remotely and monitor comings and goings, perhaps of a loved one with dementia who may wander. Convenient for remotely providing access to health aides, house cleaners, and other family members. And finally, bathroom tech. Smart water sensors can shut off water and alert you if a leak or a constantly running toilet is detected. Smart scales are useful to track weight and other body measurements and send the data to a health app or share it with caregivers or medical providers. Sensors can indicate how often someone opens a medicine cabinet. Now back to AARP the magazine, and we're going to look at where to go in 2025. We've scoured the globe for the best travel destinations for older Americans. Whether you're into history, nature, relaxation, or getting the most for your money, these are the places to be in the coming year. And this is by Ken Budd. Boston. And there's a picture here of Boston's public garden. Why to go? To relive the spirit of 75. In another year, we'll all be celebrating the nation's semi-quintennial, what's that? The 250th anniversary of the 1776 signing of the Declaration of Independence. But, lest we forget, the Revolutionary War's first shots were fired in 1775, and that 250th anniversary warrants a trip to Boston this year. When you go, don't miss. Start with a reenactment of Paul Revere's ride on April 18th at the Hancock Clark House in Lexington, about 15 miles northwest of Boston. On April 19th, the towns of Lexington and Concord will host reenactments and parades. Stop by the Concord Museum to see one of the lanterns that hung in Old North Church and indicated to if by sea. The Spirit of 75 festivities continue in mid-June with the anniversary of the Battle of Bunker Hill in Boston's Charlestown neighborhood. Commemorations will include a parade and remembrance events. Leave time to wander the cobblestone streets and drink a Sam Adams at the Warren Tavern. Built in 1780 after the British torched Charlestown and visited by George Washington and Paul Revere. Amid the revelry, it's also a good time to remember the sacrifices of our American predecessors as thousands of troops died in the Revolution. It's mind-boggling, says Boston historian and tour guide Charles Bond. This is where these people stood. They made a stand and they gave birth to our nation. And also don't miss the historic charm of the Charlestown neighborhoods. Then there's London. Why to go? The 80th anniversary of VE Day. In London's 2,000-year history, Victory in Europe Day, VE Day, ranks as the city's biggest bash. On May 7, 1945, news broke of the end of World War II hostilities in Europe. The celebrations started immediately. The 80th anniversary on May 8, 2025, won't be quite so boisterous, but still special. VE Day is one of those occasions where Britain loses its reserve somewhat and parties, says Paul Gass, 52, who served in the Royal Air Force and now works for the American Red Cross in New Jersey. Patriotic bunting, Union flags, parades, singing wartime songs, and dancing to American big band music. The whole day stirs deep-seated pride. Start with a visit to Churchill War Rooms, then head to locations where crowds partied in 1945, from Piccadilly Circus to Trafalgar Square. Next, pay your respects at St. Paul's Cathedral. The Anglican Church held 10 straight services attended by thousands on VE Day, and then stroll to Buckingham Palace, where Winston Churchill and the royal family admired the celebrating throngs from the balcony. And don't miss the French House Pub, a gathering place for members of the French Resistance. Next suggestion? Aurora Borealis activity may reach its highest levels of visibility in a decade in Fairbanks, Alaska. Many a weary traveler has been disappointed on a trek to view the northern lights. Celestial phenomena can be unpredictable, so you might see dazzling colors in the night sky, or you might just see night sky. But in 2025, your odds of a sighting are greater than normal. Aurora Borealis activity may reach its highest levels since 2014, and Fairbanks is a prime spot for the atmospheric show. The city sits under the auroral oval, a zone with concentrated activity, and Fairbanks' low precipitation and distance from coastal areas make for consistently clear nights. How good are the odds? Data suggests that about a 90% chance of seeing the northern lights over a three-night stay, according to the University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute. Any park or open area works to see the lights, but many visitors mix the frigid nights with the warm environment. At the Chena Hot Springs Resort, about 60 miles northeast of Fairbanks, you can watch the skies while relaxing in hot springs. amateur astronomer Todd Thalamer, 53, of Parker, Colorado, made the trek in 2023 and saw the lights four times. The aurora was dancing like waves, bright green and pink and red. I've seen a lot of stuff in the universe, but that one was really like, wow. And don't miss Borealis's Base Camp's igloos. Let you gaze at the sky from bed. Now, for the rest of our time, we're going back to the bulletin for an edition that had good ways to save money. Right now, we're looking at everyday shopping. Keep your change. Several finance apps help you stash small amounts of money at a time. For example, Chime automatically rounds up all of your debit card purchases to the next dollar and deposits the change in a saving account. Acorns will put roundups into an investment account. Quapital, Quapital, lets you set savings rules such as stashing cash every time you get takeout food. Then pick up your purchases. More than half of online retailers offer customers the option of picking up their purchase in the store. Choosing this option means you don't have to pay shipping fees, which most retailers charge for purchases below an average free shipping threshold of $64. Try to drop off your returns. Many online retailers have started charging again for mailing back returns. But if the retailer has physical stores, items bought online usually can be returned to the store for no fee. Don't shop for clothes when you're hungry. It's not just grocery shopping you should avoid when starving. Studies have shown that hungry shoppers are more likely to make impulse buys on non-food items as well. Rethink Amazon Prime. If you enjoy the free fast shipping but don't use a lot of Prime's other features, such as the video or music services, you may not need to pay the $139 per year to be a member. You can often bundle together a few items to get free shipping. Plus, waiting to buy until you hit that minimum may reduce impulse purchases. Then, practice patience for online shopping. For certain Amazon purchases, you can earn a credit or a discount when you choose at checkout not to have your item speedily delivered in the standard day or two we've become accustomed to. The credit can be used to, say, buy music or a video on your Prime account. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.